Shavuato, Karen, thank you. Firstly, it's a true pleasure to be here, and I would just like to share with you this morning's experience as I walked in. The first three people I met were three students whom I care about very deeply, who all shared the news of their engagement with me. And the order of Shoshana Kramer, Alana Rosenblum, and Sarah Halperin. And right afterwards, I said, this is something, maybe the shiur is really up to me. And I think that there certainly is something to be learned nonetheless. And we're going to see that, in fact, the challenge of looking for love in all the right places isn't just the beginning of the search, but the continuation of it, and certainly the realization, the cognizance thereafter. We're going to begin then with the shiur by understanding that this challenge of looking for love in all the right places is not going to be necessarily a story about looking by wells. After all, we don't really know yet that this is going to set the standard for stories, that this is going to be the basis of what we're going to call analogous stories, the stories, as you know, to come, of Yaakov and Rachel meeting by the Be'er, meeting by the well, and that of Moshe and Zipporah meeting by the Be'er, by the well. We don't know those stories yet, and therefore we don't know that this is an auspicious location. In addition, we're going to see that looking for love in places is not necessarily a geographical place. And as you can already note from the Ma'ar Makomot before you, this is not going to encourage you to go back to the lands of Iran and Iraq and search for your Bashir there. So we begin now with the story of Abraham, indeed trying to see what the ideal is. Indeed trying to see, based on Abraham establishing the precedent, Abraham serving as the first parent who's involved in his children's shiduchim, what we, both as parents, what we, as women today, are supposed to be learning from the lessons of Torah, from the lessons of Chumash, with regard to who somehow stands enough to this challenge, knowing what we should be looking for, how we should be looking, and certainly how we should be responding. We begin then with the story that you have before you, the story of Vayishlach Perach Avdalid, which, just to remind you, is going to be placed in a very particular context. The story of Parshat Chayei Sarah is a very interesting parsha in its own right, in that it serves as a transition between the stories of Abraham and the stories of Yitzchak. Toldot Sarah and Toldot Yitzchak. And it's not by chance that this basically stands alone, is read alone, by virtue of the fact that the two stories that we find in Parshat Chayei Sarah deal with Abraham already preparing for the next generation. The first story, as we know, immediately after the death of Sarai Minu, involves Abraham searching for a burial plot. But it's not merely a burial plot that he wants, and as much as an achuzat kever, a piece of land, a territory that will ensure the perpetuation of his presence and the presence of his children to come in Eretz Israel. The next story involves his searching for a wife for his son Yitzchak. The Torah is already telling us that the two transition stories, the stories from one generation to the next, involve a parent already foreseeing not only the challenges, but also the fulfillment of the promises given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The two britot, the two covenants, the two promises that Abraham receives in Bereishit Perek Tetvav, and respectively in Bereishit Perek Yitzayin, are Brit Bein Haptarim, the covenant of the land, the promise of Eretz Kanaan. In addition, Brit Hazera, Brit Milah, the promise of a nation. And one would think that when Hashem offers these promises, that Abraham can merely sit back, relax, and enjoy the realization thereof. The Torah tells us that Abraham recognizes, as soon as Sarah dies, that his death is perhaps imminent as well, and responds with the words always of Vayakam Vayakam. He's going to get up. He's going to be proactive. He is going to say, I'm not going to wait for Hashem to take care of this alone. I'm going to be involved in the process of the fulfillment of these promises. And henceforth, it's Abraham who goes ahead to purchase land, to purchase achuzat hasadeh, to purchase the field wherein he's going to bury Sarah, and in addition have, for the first time, a plot of land that is truly his. And then, as we know, ensure the perpetuation of his own offspring by finding a wife for Yitzchak. With this, then, we're going to see the story of Abraham, who begins with the Shua that he finds on the first page, the promise that he makes, and really the mission that he's going to send his Eved, the anonymous Eved here, whom we know not only through Chazal's filling in the personality, but also through associations of Uven Meshech Beiti Eliezer Hu Yerashoti, the Torah basically makes it clear that this Eved, who is the head butler of the house of Avraham Avinu, is in fact Eliezer, but chooses to regard him anonymously so that we can appreciate, firstly, what his role is within the story, which is merely as the messenger for Avraham. He is really the intermediary. He is the shaliach. He is going to be the accessory, in this case, the yad of Avraham Avinu. And at the same time, when we see him regarded differently, we're meant to, through the anonymous terminology, appreciate the development of this character. We start then with the shvuah. Va'Avraham zakein vav bayamim, va'Adonai beirach et Avraham bakol. Avraham is already old, and Hashem has blessed Avraham with everything. We're going to see an elaboration, but apparently the Torah doesn't feel that it's necessary at this point to elaborate on what everything is. So much so, the Chazal tell us, what is bakol? Then he had everything, especially a bat, a daughter. Then here we see the pshat of the gematria is actually, then Hashem gave him a son. The Torah is introducing that what Avraham has right now is everything that he needs, and this is when the bells go off in his mind. How about securing the next generation? Vayoma Avraham alavdoz kan beto, amosher b'chol ha'shalom. Sinna yatcha tachati rechi. This was the ancient custom of accepting an oath. Vashkiacha b'Hashem elokei ha'shamayim v'elokei ha'aretz. Asher lo tikach isha l'bni mibnot ha'knani, asher anochi yoshev b'kirbo. Avraham makes it very clear from the start that he wants his Eved to go and find a wife for his son. But first he presents condition number one, or ideal number one. It cannot be a Canaanite woman. I don't want someone from this Canaanite land. Which is somewhat strange if we think about it, because Avraham resides amongst these people. These are the people to whom Hashem apparently has told Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetcha mibet avicha, ela aretz asher arecha. And when Avraham reaches the land of Canaan, Hashem says, this is it. Lachai tena ta'aretz azot. What leads Avraham to the conclusion that he's not supposed to intermarry with the inhabitants of the land? Apparently, Avraham understands that although he was told by Hashem, Lech lecha mi'artzecha, although he was told to leave his land, to leave moladetcha, his birthplace, to leave Beit Avicha, to leave the place of his father's culture, to leave the line of shame from which and from whom he descends, he understands that Hashem wants him to come to Eretz Canaan, to this new culture, not to adapt the culture of Canaan. For he knows, going back to the story of Noah, that it's Canaan who is the result of the awful, perhaps even incestual, act of Ham and Noah, and it is Shem who is going to repair. It is Shem who is going to act with respect to Noah. Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem. Shem is blessed through his association with Hashem. And it is Ham and Canaan, Arur Lamo, who will be cursed for generations to come. And therefore, Abraham knows that even though he resides within this culture, he is now here in order to affect the culture. He's here to influence them, and certainly not to intermarry with them. But this we continue with the next condition. It says, not Kna'anim, not only that, ki elarti v'moladiti telech, v'lakachta isha livni liyitzchak. Condition number two, you have to go back to my birthplace. And now we're going to elaborate on this as we take a look at some of the parshanim. The parshanim that you have before you are traditionally known as parshanei hapshat, are those that take the context into account, are those that appreciate the terms themselves, sometimes the repetitions of words, certainly associations with previous times that these words have been mentioned. So we're going to begin actually with perhaps the most modern of these parshanim, Ve'ya Emek Davar, the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Miberlin, of the 18th and 19th centuries, who explains, Elokei HaShemayim ve'Elokei HaAretz. And Avraham is going to promise, is going to swear, in the name of Hashem, who is the God of the Shemayim and the Aretz, Kach haya hergel lashon Avraham Avinu. This is the way Avraham always spoke. God is the God of the heavens, and God is the God of the earth. Why does he speak this way? להגדיל בפי הבריות שהקדוש ברוך הוא משגיח בשמיים ובארץ, to show that God rules up above, but he also rules below. Adam is already going to tell his Eved that God is very much involved in what goes on here. God is involved in perhaps what we'll call this notion of bashet. God sees the bigger picture that's out there. God knows what lay in store for all of us, but God is also deeply involved with the activities that go on in this world. God is going to play a role. Yad Hashem is going to be evident even in the natural events that take place here. Kamo Shekein, just as he's always going to mention, again later on, and certainly beforehand. With this we continue then with the Peirush of the Rashbam, who explains why is it so necessary that Avram goes, or that Avram sends his servant to return El Arzi. V'lo la'otam she'inam krovai. The Rashbam learns that Avram actually is being very careful and deliberate in his request here. He is not simply asking that the Eved return to his birthplace and to the place of his origin, but also to the place of his family. Ela lemoladeti sheba'artzi telech. I don't simply want you to go to my homeland. I want you to go lemoladeti, to my birthplace, namely, to that same little village, perhaps even to the same house where I was born. I want a family member. Whether, again, we see that it's explicit or implicit, and certainly we find that that's in fact what materializes, we're supposed to appreciate, through the Peirush of the Rashbam, that he's taking the original tzivui, the original edict, the commandments of Hashem into account. What is reverberating currently in Avram's ears is the tzivui, is the commandments of years ago, of lach lacha me'artecha, mimoladetcha o mibeit avicha. What Avram wants is not simply to go back and to somehow have a wife who's not a Canaanite woman. He wants a wife for Yitzchak who is going to undergo exactly the same process as he. I want someone from my own family who will leave her Eretz, her Beit Av, her Molad, the place of the family, the birthplace, the homeland. Avram already understands that if someone is going to enjoin within the family, within the promises, within the covenants of the offspring and the land, they have to undergo a similar sacrifice. They have to undergo a similar forfeiting of one's past for the sake of anticipating a positive future. And with this then, we continue with the psukim, pasukei. Vayomei lafayevet, ulai lo tovei shala lechad acharai el haaretz hazot. And the Eved rightfully replies, you make it seem so clear. Oh, this is what I should do. It's so easy. And what if she doesn't want to go back? Should I at that point bring Yitzchak then? If she doesn't want to fly to go out on a date, maybe he should be the one to fly out to her. Avram's response, no. Hishamer lecha pintashiv et b'ni shama. Note then that Avram has a second ideal. Not only no Canaanite woman, but ideal number two, condition number two. You have to go back to my birthplace. You have to reestablish what I did in the form of Lech Lecha. And it has to be that this new woman is going to undergo this process. Yitzchak will not undergo the process. Yitzchak was already part of the trial, of the tribulation, of the Akedah. He doesn't need the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. You need to bring the girl, to bring her over here. And notice that what Avram seemingly takes for granted, that the Eved is clearly going to raise suspicion with regard to, we continue in the next pasuk to see all the more so Abraham's confidence in pasuk Zayin. Hashem, Elokei Hashemayim, asher lekachani mibeit avi u'me'eretz moladeti, v'asher diberli, v'asher nishpali leimor lezaracha etein et aretz hazot, hu yishlach malacho lefanecha, v'lakachta isha libni misham. Avram makes it very clear. The same God, now look carefully at the terminology, the God of the Shemayim, who took me from my father's house, from my birthplace, and told me and swore to me at the time of the Akedah, saying, Lezaracha etein et ha'aretz hazot, don't worry, he will send a malach before you, and you're going to be fine. V'lakachta isha libni misham. Don't worry, you will get that girl. You're going to bring her back here. Let's look at the tone based on the Parshanim. The Parshanim explain, if we look at Rashi, source number 3, Hashem Elokei HaShemayim, Asher Elokachani Mibeit Zavi, Avram responds to the suspicion, to the reservation raised by his Eved with regard to what will happen if the girl doesn't want to come. He says, don't worry, the same God, but this time the God of the Shemayim, what does he seem to omit? Hashem Elokei HaAretz. Rashi says, V'lo amar v'lokei ha'aretz. What happened to Abraham's pronouncement? What happened to his constant enunciation of the name of God? God is associated not only in the heavens and in the earth. He said here, Amar lo akshahu lokei ha'shamayim v'lokei ha'aretz, asher higelati b'fi ha'briyot. Aval kshalakachani mibeit avi, haya elokei ha'shamayim v'lo elokei ha'aretz. Shelo hayu ba'ei ha'olam makirin bo. Ushmo lo haya ragil ba'aretz. Rashi beautifully interprets that Elokei ha'aretz in this context doesn't necessarily mean that Hashem is the God of the world, and as much as that Hashem is the God of Eretz Kna'an. And therefore, Rashi says, when Hashem told me to leave Eretz Moladati, that was Hashem Elokei HaShemayim. That was God who rules over the world. That was God who is going to be involved from heaven. That is the universal God. But no one knew that Hashem at that point was involved in not just the land, but was involved in the land of Kna'an. Apparently, Hashem only becomes known in the land of Kna'an once Abraham is here. Rashi is extrapolating from the context that the repetition of the word, as you see from the bolded terminology, the repetition of the word aretz, 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 is not only in Avram's conscious state, but in Avram's subconscious state as well. What Avram is thinking about this entire time is lech lecha me'artecha, mimoladetcha, mibeit avicha, ela aretz asher areka, ela aretz asher areka. And therefore, when Avram mentions, don't worry, the girl will come to the aretz, Hashem Elokei HaShemayim told me to leave, and now he's also not just Elokei HaShemayim, he's involved with me through the land. I have a relationship with God through this land. And therefore, as we continue now with the Parshanim, Ibn Ezra explains beautifully, Hu Yishlach Malacho. He raises the fact that Abraham says, don't worry, Hashem is going to send a malach. Hashem is going to send some type of messenger, perhaps even a celestial being, to accompany you. And Ibn Ezra says, this was a tefillah, this was his hope. If you take a look for a minute to source number 7, the Chizkuni says, Nivu'ahi, that this was actual prophecy. Abraham was either offering a prayer, a supplication, or Abraham knew, don't worry, Hashem is going to take care of you. If you look at the Parshanim in between, which I think are very sensitive to the words and to the development of the words within this Parshia, we find that Abraham isn't necessarily asking something from Hashem, not a tefillah and not a nivu'ah. Rather, Abraham is saying something that is clear to him. Abraham is expressing his perception of these events, and basically he says, if Hashem told me to leave my homeland, if Hashem told me to forfeit my past for the sake of establishing a community, a nation, in this land in Eretz Kna'an, then it's clear that what does Hashem want? Then Hashem wants this wife. Hashem wants this young maiden to come here. So don't worry, of course she's going to come here. Because what Avram keeps on hearing is aretz, aretz, aretz. I have to make sure that there's a nation in this land. And how am I going to make sure that there's a nation in this land? By bringing the wife back to this land. How do I know that that's what's going to happen? Because that's the direction in which Hashem has been leading me for the past years. This is exactly what Hashem has told me to do. If this is the destiny, and if this is the challenge, if this is the direction that Hashem has basically placed me in, then I know that it will all work out okay. Let's take a look at the Rashbam source number 5. Hashem Elokei HaShemayim. He says, Shehiviyani kan v'yitein lezari et ha'aretz yadati she'eno rotze she'archik zari mikan. He says, how do I know that she's going to come back here and I don't have to send Yitzchak over there? Because Hashem is the one to tell me that I should come here and he's going to have my children here, be yitein lezari zot ta'aret. He's going to give them this land. She'im kein, malo lakadosh baruch hu laviyei mikan. Because if God really wanted me to go and to have Yitzchak go to another land, why would he even bring me here? Lefichach yodea ani שישלח מלאכו להצליח דרכך לקיים לי הבטחתו. The words here of the Rashbam are beautiful. Notice that what verb does he employ? Not a tefillah, not a nevoah, but yodea ani. The Eved says, how can you be so sure that she's going to come here? Avram answers, I know. I'm simply confident. How do I know that I'm going to get married? I know. Because if God placed me here, and God's directing me here, and this is what God wants for me, then that's what's going to happen. What we already see is that Avram is very sensitive to Ratzon Hashem. What Avram knows is that if God wants something, then God will ensure that by hook or by crook, that's what will be fulfilled. Avraham therefore says, she has to come here, because God led me here. If God led me here, then this is the direction that I'm meant to continue to take. Looking for love doesn't necessarily mean to go to all the right places. Looking for love in the right places means to know in your state of mind, to know in your place of consciousness, what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of you and from you. Believing and searching for Ratzon Hashem and finding a shiduch. Avraham believes, Avraham, I'm even going to add, staunchly believes. Avraham understands that this simple prediction, he's 100% sure it will work. And therefore he says, eventually, this girl is going to say Lech Lecha. Eventually, she will join. She will gain a sense of where she should be as well. Similarly, the Nitziv tells us, source number 6, Ve'im lo toveh ha'isha. So if she doesn't want to come, achar she'tekadesh ota, after you already sanctify her, la'lechad acharecha le'medina she'lo yada me'olam, al'al acharecha v'nikita m'shvuati zot. So if she doesn't come, then you're completely absolved of your oath. You know why? Ki ata asita et sholcha. You did what you were supposed to do. What's implied here? She didn't do what she's supposed to do. What is she supposed to do? She's supposed to willingly, on her own, follow this direction, gain a sense of where God wants her to be, and with that, pursue her path of Lech Lecha to Eretz Kanaan as well. We continue with the Pesukim now, as we see this theme continuing in Pasuk Tet, Vayasem ha'eved et yado tachad yerach Avraham Adonav, Vayishva lo al hadavar hazeh. The Eved seems, at least for now, to accept Avraham's argument, Avraham's yidiyah, his knowledge, Avraham's presupposition, and with this, Vayomer, now he's going to continue. Anna, as we see, we're now going to find the story. We're going to skip for a minute, and this was reformatted. We're going to skip for a minute to the story of Yitziyat Rivka, of how he finds Rivka. Then the next psukim that you have in the first paragraph are going to relate to how the Eved Avraham is going to iterate the story once he's going to meet the family of Rivka. So we're going to skip to paragraph Bet when he finds Rivka. First, he stands by the Be'er, as we know, and he turns to Hashem. Vayomer, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, Hakrena Lefanai Hayom, Vaseh Chesed Im Adoni Avraham. Two terms that should bother us a little. He turns to the God of, and he calls him, Adoni Avraham. We already get a sense that the Eved, even though he's an extension of Avraham, does not necessarily share the same belief system as Avraham. This, by the way, is the source for Chazal to present Eliezer in a slightly negative light. Firstly, by presenting him, as you know, as one of the characters, as one of the Na'arim in the story of the Akidah, of Akidat Yitzhak, one of the characters who stay with the donkey. And Chazal tell us, the Na'arim that stay with the donkey are like the donkeys. They don't share the same belief system as Avraham Avinu. In addition, Chazal also tell us that perhaps Eved Avraham Eliezer had a hidden agenda to have his own daughter marry Yitzchak. Again, the source for this is this pasuk alone, where we find that Eliezer apparently doesn't completely associate himself with the same God as Avraham Avinu, for after all, he addresses Yudkei Bavkei as Elokei Adoni Avraham. He turns to the God of Avraham and he says, Hakrenna lefanai hayom. Let's take a look and see what this means. Ezra, we look at source number 8. Hakren, what is this? Poel yotzei hala etzem hamubukash. Vimkein hu bakasha sheyazmin etzem yuedet li Yitzchak. He's asking Hashem, please send she who is destined for Yitzchak. Where does he get this from? And here we find Yeshar Lomarchim. Demi Odeya im Yeshto Ham Yuedet. How can one say this? Who really knows if there's one destined? Who knows if there really is a concept of one Bashert? Vare Lobikesha Yibra Bederechnes, Bo Tosha'a Isha. He wasn't asking God to somehow create a miraculous woman from nowhere. Rather, what is he asking for? He says, "Asi chesed im Adoni Abraham, v'hakrei malefanai hayom, ela hapoal hakrei solveval hashkachat Hashem." Umashma'o, his damin shetiyeh hashkachato yibarach mizumenet lefanav. Hashem, show me your guidance. Don't miraculously create a woman, and I don't even know if there's one particular woman who is destined to be the wife of Yitzchak. Rather, show me that you're involved. Whatever Abraham has picked up on was Abraham's tone. Abraham's tone of confidence. Abraham who said, you don't have to worry about anything, because if Hashem wants this, he will allow it to be. Because if this is Ratzon Hashem, then I'm going to pursue this. I'm not going to sit passively. I will actively pursue a wife through you, my Eved. But you don't have to worry, because I know that this is what God wants. And therefore the Eved says, well, if it's so clear that this is what you want, then help me out. And now let's take a look. How should we help him out? Hakreina lefanai is, don't create an ace, just help me out. Show me your guidance. Intervene a little here. Show me that Abraham's yidia, that Abraham's confidence was indeed warranted, that he knew, God, that you were going to be involved. Asei chesed im Adoni Abraham. Here, though, we find that the Eved Abraham is also saying, Hashem, please perform a chesed. Please perform a kindness with Abraham. Notice, then, that even though the Eved has heard what Abraham says, he doesn't completely buy it. He doesn't completely appreciate Abraham's confidence. And rather, he says, if you're going to do it, Hashem, you know, Abraham is such a wonderful person. He deserves your kindness. He deserves your involvement. So please, Hashem, please get involved and help Abraham out by helping me find a wife for his son. But notice that Abraham doesn't feel that he needs the kindness. What did Abraham say? I don't need a kindness. I know that what's Hashem going to do? Hashem's going to send a malach. I know that it's going to work out. Let's continue then and see the gradual realization of this Eved. So as the women come to draw water, Vayana Aram, Asher Amari Laha Atina Kadeh Veshte, Vamashte, the Gam Malechashke, Atal Chachal of Zachal Yitzha, Uvaida, Kiasid Chesed, Im Adoni. If I find someone who has the Nida of Chesed like Abraham, then I know that you have really performed a Chesed for him. Note then that generally what we focus on here in the story of Parshat Chayei Sarah, and this is what most of us hear in preparation for this week's Parsha, the Mita of Chesed. Eliezer was looking for Chesed. Is that really the primary goal? Is that really the focus of the Parsha? Not at all. Was Abraham looking for Chesed? No. Abraham was looking for Hashem to continue to direct him. Abraham was looking to pursue what Hashem had wanted of him. Abraham, with confidence, said, this is going to work out. I know it's going to work out. There's going to be a girl out there because lech lecha mi'artecha, this is what God wants of me. This is what God continuously wants of me. I know that if this is what God wants of me, God will allow it to happen. The other does not appreciate that. And he says, no, we need the kindness of Hashem. And if it's the kindness of Hashem, it won't necessarily work out. I need a cue that this is the right girl for Abraham's family. What cue does he use, obviously? We just read yesterday in Parshat Vayera, the Mita of Chesed. If she expresses this act, this attribute of kindness, then I know that this is probably the woman for the family of Abraham. And then I know, Hashem, that you really did get involved by performing a chesed for Abraham. Then that was wonderful of you to do for Abraham. But before he can even finish talking, what is the Torah ready to tell us before he finishes? Who comes out? Not someone who has the attribute of chesed. What does the Torah tell you before you even hear about what she's going to perform for Eliezer? We find that she happens to be from the same family as Avram Avinu. You find out from the very last parshia, the very last unit in Parshat Vayera, we heard about Nachor's 8 children from Milcah. We heard about Betuel, and Betuel gives birth to Rivka, and then we heard about the 4 children of the Pilegesh of Nachor, Re'umah. And now the Torah is already telling you, Rivka, the daughter of Betuel, the daughter of Nachor, from the family of Avram comes. The Torah is already telling you that Avram was 100% right. We really don't have to continue with the story. We know that everything that Avram had asked for, go back to the Perush of the Rashbam. Avram said, I know that if I underwent a process of Lech Lecha in order to be in this land, then God wants to make sure that everyone who joins in within this family is also going to undergo that process. I know what God wants, and I know that God is going to make sure that that's exactly what happens. So don't just go back to my birthplace. Go back to my family. Someone from my family is going to undergo this process. Lo and behold, the Torah tells us in this pasuk, Rivka comes out. Rivka from the family of Avram. We can end the story right now. Or if Avram is watching this film, Avram would be happy at this particular moment. When he sees Rivka as the first of the women to come out, as soon as the Eved reaches Haran, as soon as he comes to draw water from the well, Avram should know, wow, Hashem isn't just involved, Hashem really is directing the plan all along. Hashem is ensuring that my path is going to continue. But we need the continuation of the story for none other than Eved Abraham. So let's see how he responds to this. He will continue with his perception. His perception is not that this is necessarily what God wants, and he still has not fully incorporated the message of confidence of Abraham. He still is looking for a sign. What's the sign? If she has chesed, then I know that God is involved. So sure enough, he asks her for the water. She goes, as we see from the words, "Va'na'rata v'tamarei ma'od pasuk tzayin v'ish lo yada'a v'tere ha'ina v'tamalei kada v'ta'al." We already see, even in the description of the verbs, what's called rikus ka'alim, the concentration of verbs that's reminiscent of Abraham throughout all the stories of Abraham Avinu, that he is always going to engage with alacrity, with a tremendous amount of activity. And he asks her, may I please have some water from your pitcher? She on her own is going to give him. And she initiates and says, of course I'm going to give your camels. And we know that he has tens of camels. And in kalu l'shtot, until they have sufficient water. Notice that the Torah tells you that this Eved Abraham is standing by the side, and he's still standing in a certain state of bewilderment, still in amazement, still wondering whether he's going to succeed. You, the reader, you who know how the story started, Hashem Elokei HaShemayim VeElokei HaAretz, God is involved. Looking for a shiduch means knowing what God wants of you, and then pursuing that, and it will work out. This is not what the Eved Abraham is cognizant of yet. He is still waiting to see, is God going to be involved? Then we know, of course God is involved. God is the one who is sending someone, specifically from the family of Abraham, to engage in the process of Lech Lecha. And here, he's going to stand by the side and still wonder. Until finally, Vayhi kasher kalu hagmalim l'shtot, Vayhi kach ha'ish netzem zahav, Vakamtech ha'mishkalo, Ushnei tiyudim ha'yada, Sarah zahav mishkalan. And now he's going to ask, Vayomer bat miat, Hagida nali, Hayesh vitavich makom lanu lalun, can you extend yourself even more with chesed? Can I sleep by you? Vatomer elad bat betuel anochi, Ve'milka, Asha yalda l'nachor, Vatomer elad, that's not enough for him. She has to also say, Gam tevin, gam is full, of course. I'll provide you with food, I'll provide your animals with fodder. גם מקום ללון, ויקול האיש וישתחו להשם. Now that he sees that this woman indeed acts with the attribute of chesed, now he understands, did Hashem get involved? Was Hashem involved because he sent him this sign of kindness that's reminiscent of the house of Abraham? Yes. But what else does he realize now? Finally, Pasuk HaZayim Vayomer, Baruch Hashem Elokei Adonai Abraham, Asher Lo Azav Chasdo Va'amito Me'im Adonai, Anochi Baderach Mecheni Hashem Beita Fi Adonai. Oh my, this wasn't just chesed. What does he finally pronounce? This wasn't just an act of Hashem doing a kindness, of Hashem getting involved to make my job easier. What was this an expression of? This is emet. What's the difference between chesed and emet? Chesed is subjective. What one person sees as kindness, another person can see as anything but. Emet is objective. Emet is truth. All of a sudden, Eved Abraham recognizes, oh my, Abraham was right. Look how easy it was. This is certainly a God of truth. A God that he sent Abraham on a certain path, and it's clearly, continuously involved in Abraham. This is a God who will ensure that once he directs a person in a certain way, that that person will continue along that path. Not only does she contain the attribute of chesed, she is also from the family of Abraham, and she's the very first one, and Abraham said that it would be so easy. And lo and behold, it was so easy. Not just as a chesed, Hashem, you have hereby manifested yourself, not merely as a God of kindness, but a God of truth. A God who says something to someone, a God who makes a lot of demands of people, but a God who ultimately, once he makes those demands, sets a person upon a certain path. Once he makes those demands of us, basically tells us what he wants from us in life. Once he makes those demands of us, basically tells us that in fact we're supposed to pursue. We're supposed to understand. We're supposed to look for what Hashem truly wants. And when we find out what Hashem truly wants of us, then Hashem will help us to find that. And with this then, he finally recognizes it. And now we're going to see how we will continue to retell the story, then going back then to the top of the page, going back to Pasuk Lamedalim in the story of the Shvuat Abraham. He's now going to be in the family of Rivka. Let's see how he retells the story. As you know, the retelling of the story that Chazal speak about in this case a lot, that the conversation of even the slave, the Eved of Abraham, is chashuv, must be significant, just like the words of the tzaddikim. That's only if we can compare and contrast. That's only if we can properly appreciate what the message is. That's only if we understand that in the retelling of the story, what the Eved Abraham is really doing is offering subtle commentary to his own actions. Let's see then, Pasuk Lamedalek. Vayomer, he introduces himself, Eved Abraham Anochi. I am proudly the Eved, I am the slave, I am the butler, the servant to Abraham. V'ashem v'erach et Adonai ma'od v'yigdal v'yiten lo tzon v'bakar v'keset v'zahav v'abadim v'shvachot v'malim v'chamorim. How do I already know that his words are an interpretation, are a pirush of what we've seen beforehand? The story started with Hashem v'erach et Abraham bakol. What is the Eved already doing? Interpreting what bakol means. Not sons and daughters, different perspective. It means a lot of slaves, a lot of livestock. Vatevet Sarah ishet Adoni ben Adoni acharei zekunta. Notice that Sarah has also given birth in her old age. What does he want to highlight? Hashem didn't just give Abraham a child. He gave his old wife Sarah a child. This is a miraculous birth. And not only that, Vayitim Eretz Kol Asher Lo. You really are supposed to like Yitzhak, because Yitzhak is now the heir to all the aforementioned Rechush. Vayishveni Adonai Lemor, Lo Tikach Isha Levni, Mibnot Hakanani, Asher Anochi Yoshev Ba'artzo. This is in fact what Abraham had said. I don't want the Canaanite woman. I don't want the residents. I don't want the inhabitants of this land. I don't want the descendants of Canaan. Who do I want? Abraham may have said it a little less explicitly, but in fact, the Eved is going to say it very clearly. That's how the Rashbam understood the words of, go to El Artzi ve'El Moladati. Here we understand that Pirush is Beit Avi. Obviously, he's also trying to get on the good side of the family by showing that Abraham wanted to go to his family's house. But notice that perhaps, genuinely, this is what the Eved Abraham believes in right now. Namely, that Abraham all the time wanted a daughter from Beit Avi. He wanted someone not necessarily with these values, but someone who was certainly going to undergo the exact same process of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Mimoladetcha Umi Beit Avicha. The Eved is now able to understand that when Abraham said Ke'alarti Ve'el Moladeti, he was just leaving out one clause, and that was Beit Avi. Ve'el Mishpachti Ve'lakachta Isha Mimi. Ve'amar Ladanai Ulai Lo Te'elecha Isha Acharai. And he's very honest when he raises his initial reservation. He says, I was worried that maybe she wouldn't come with me. I was worried that maybe God isn't as involved as Abraham thinks he is. Vayomer Elan Hashem Asher Nitzalachti Lefanav Yishlach Malachol Itcha Vetzliach Tachacha Velakachta Isha Levni Mimishpachti Umibet Ami. But I want you to know, I was also taken aback by this, he says, that my master said, you have nothing to worry about, because the God Asher Hitzalachti Lefanav, that I walked before him. Notice, is he necessarily presenting Abraham in a somewhat arrogant fashion? Oh, don't worry, Abraham walks before God. Again, this is a pirush. What is that that Abraham finally realized? He finally appreciates the initial interpretation of what Abraham was asking, namely, recognize that I underwent the process of Lech Lecha. I did follow God, and because I followed God, I know in what direction to look. I know to continue along this path of what Hashem is asking me, namely, to make sure that a girl ends up in this land where I'm meant to see the fulfillment of the bitut of the land and of the offspring. And therefore he continues. And he says, my master knew all along that he would be successful because he was the one to look after what God wanted. He was the one to walk in the direction that Hashem had set him off in. He was the one to start the process. And as such, he knew that Hashem would continuously be involved. And then, he said, if it doesn't work out, then I'm completely absolved of my oath. He knew, basically, that this was going to work. And lo and behold, he continues now with the story. And he says, as we already see, that Abraham noted that it was inconceivable that Hashem would bring about a situation in which Abraham and Yitzchak would be able to continue their lives in Eretz Israel. And he says, lo and behold, look what happens. Pasuch of Zayin Vayomer. Baruch Hashem Elokei Adonai Abraham. And just as he had mentioned earlier by the Be'er, he knew that this was an act of chesed and emet. We now continue with Pasuch Membet. Back in the paragraph of finding Rivka, he says, so you want to know what happens? Vamohayom Elani. I went now to the spring, this very day. Vaomar, and I didn't fully trust Abraham. And I said, Hashem Elokei Adonai Abraham. If you're going to help me succeed, I made up this sign that the girl should not just offer me to drink, but also for my camels. And what do you know? Before I even finish talking, and right away, and even though he changes the order, he says, and then I asked her, and lo and behold, whose daughter are you? And she says, she is the daughter of Tzvel, the son of Nahor, Asher Yadalo Mukah. And that's when I gave her all this jewelry. And that's when I noticed, and here's the climax of the story, Ve'kod v'shachaveh l'Hashem, v'avarech at Hashem alokei Adonai Abraham, asher enachani b'derech emet, l'kachat et fatachi Adonai b'vno. He doesn't even mention chesed. He omits the chesed because that was really a superficial point. He understands that the greatness of the story was the involvement of God in a completely overt manner, was the conspicuous revelation here. Was the clear, not merely assumption, but belief of Abraham that if this is what God wants, as long as you look for it, you're going to find it. And he says, look at the story. It's so clear. God isn't just a God of chesed. Because if God is a God of kindness, then God could always withhold his kindness. But God is a God of truth. And truth, integrity, is consistent. With this, the Kodesh HaKaber and I see Vata in Yishchel Osim Chesed Ve'emet. So now, isn't this amazing? I see that your daughter has this value of Chesed. Now you see that Avram is associated with a God of Emet. Are you associated with these values? If so, tell me. Because if not, then I'm going to leave. Then with this then, we're going to see now the stories. Avram, and if we take a look at source number 10, again in the Tziv, Yeshchem Osim Chesed Ve'emet, HaChesed Yeshel Emet. He's not asking them to perform a kindness. He doesn't need kindnesses. He says, HaChesed Yeshel Emet, I need you to do something that reflects truth. Sharei Barur Kichayim Emet. How can you deny this? Look at this story. Do you see how God is clearly involved here? Don't you see how Abraham knew exactly what he was talking about? It should be clear to everyone's eye. Therefore, I place Rashi here also on Pasuch of Zayin, when the Eved said, Hashem, thank you for placing me on this Derech, Derech HaMizuman, Derech HaYashar, or in other words, Goto Derech Shahayiti Tzarech. You placed me on the path that I was supposed to go all along. I was supposed to recognize that even if I wouldn't do anything, everything would turn out just fine. Now we're going to take a look, starting from source number 11. Now we're going to take a look at the response of Rivka's family, and indeed the aftermath. Vayam Laban Abutuel, Vayamu Pe Hashem Yatsa Hadamar, Lo Nuchal Zaber Elacha Ra Otoz. Notice that, as we look at the story, and as they look at the story, they can't deny it. What's their response? Me Hashem Yatsa Hadamar. You're right, this is clearly from God. God was involved here. Abraham knew what he was talking about. And they add one other term. Lo Nuchal Zaber Elacha Ra Otoz. Let's take a look at source number 12. What does this mean? That we can't speak neither good nor bad. Notice firstly that this is clearly built off of Sukkot that we're already familiar with from Sefer Bereishit. When Hashem tells Adam and Chava, Mikol Eitz Adam Tofel, you're allowed to eat from any tree in the garden. Umi Eitz Adam Tovera lo tochel mimenu, ki biyom al chalcha mimenu mo tamut. You can eat from everything other than the Eitz Hadat Tov V'Ra. Because man can't really distinguish between Tov and Ra. Who's the only one who can distinguish between Tov and Ra? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, as we take a look, they say, it's so clear that this is from God. We are not going to be audacious enough to say that we're going to eat from the Eitz Hadat. God knows this. God is the one involved. Rashi says, Lo Nuchal Dabar Elacha. We can't refuse your request. We can't say yes or we can't say no. What's their response? You don't need our approval. Because obviously, this is all from God. If God wants it, God will make sure it happens. Please remember this privilege for the next few minutes. They say,
the same way that,
no offense, Eliezer, but you really didn't do anything. Who is the player in all of these events? It was Hashem.
And therefore,
we're really not players in this either. Let's just sit passively. We don't have to do anything. God will make sure that everything will turn out okay. The Rashbam says, Lo nechad avrei lach ara otov. Lo hasira, va lo hadinyan tzavui ritzoninu. Again, it's not up to us. Kiya, then just as they said, here we know that this is not whether we want or not, Yakadosh Baruch Hu Asa Shayechol Liyadil, it's up to God. And this forno, it's not up to us, Levatel Gezeirato. It's so clear that this is a decree from God. This is what Avraham Avinu meant. Also, L'kayem Otam, Ilo Haita Tzvicha, L'kim Shalanu, you need our involvement? You don't need our involvement at all. Again, it is quite clear and exactly what Hashem wants here. Notice, by the way, that here, it's Laban and it's Will who know on a very high level. They're the ones who say that we can't do anything before God. Hashem is above us. We won't eat from the Eitz Hadat. But keep that in mind now as we continue and we see a parallel story. It's the same Laban whom we know when Yaakov runs away from him. What is Laban going to attempt to do to try to bring Yaakov and the children back? That very night Hashem appears to him and says, Pasuch Chavdal and Parakam al Aleph. Hashem comes to Laban in the middle of the night and says, you really forgot your history, didn't you? Now is your chance to be passive. Don't do anything Tiago, we told the Abraham, you yourself, Laban, a few Prakim earlier said, May Hashem yatsa hadarai, Hashem is about, lo mucham, and we can't, zaver ilacha ra'oto. We can't express ourselves in any way. We're meant to be passive and let God run the show. And that's what Hashem comes to remind Laban of later. I'm writing this also. May Hashem yatsa hadarai, don't touch Yaakov. Now's your opportunity to be passive. Don't perform, tov or ra. And with this we continue and we see what is the continued response, Pasuk Mibet. Vayikasher shama Eved Abraham et Zivrehem, back to source number 11. Vayishachu artza l'Hashem. He notices, this is all from God. Vayoteh edit kli kesef kli zahab ugadim vayitim rivka mutunem enatam l'achah ulima. Vayachu vayishu hu v'anashem asher imo. Vayalina vayakimu baboker. And now they're ready to go on their way. He says, mission accomplished. Shalchuni l'adoni. Look carefully. Vayomar achiha v'ima. They were tzaddikim the day before. But now, her brother and her mother say, Teshev hanara itanu yamim. O asor achar telech. Note another subtle message that the Torah is teaching us over here. The day before, they were so thrown. They said, Me'ashem yata adavar. Lo mechal adavar ilach atovu ra. What do they say today? We aren't going to get involved. And we think that we should, for now at least, postpone the shidduch. Maybe it's not really from Hashem. It's easy to talk about belief in God. It's easy to say, I believe in God, and I believe that God is running the show. The challenge is whether or not we're really ready to act on those beliefs. Challenge is, when push comes to shove, are you really not going to toe or rap? Are you really going to get involved? Are you going to truly believe that Hashem is in charge? And with this then they say, no, we're not going to censor yet. Remember the conversation of last night? Hashem is involved. Hashem is the one who helped me. Shalchuni velchaladuni. I just need you to send me out already. Now notice, if Hashem is really running the show, this is a little bit of a disappointment. Hashem is now forestalling the fulfillment of Eved Abraham's commandment or Eved Abraham's message and mission for Abraham. So look carefully though, and they say, "Vayehu nikralin Aram v'nishalat epiha." Let's ask Rivka. Vayehu leRivka, vayehu elaha. That's alchi in my ishazeh. That's omer elaha.
They ask her, "Are you willing to go with
this man?" And she says, "I will go."
If we look carefully back at the request of Abraham, we find that Abraham said, "It's not enough that you bring her. What does she have to do?" She has to undergo the process of lech lecha. You can't force her. She can't be passive. I wasn't passive when Hashem challenged me. Lech lecha mi aitzecha mi moladecha mi beit avicha. She has to be the one to initiate her own lech lecha. She has to be willing to forfeit her family, her past here. She has to be the one who is going to say on her own, elech. Notice that this pattern is going to continue for generations to come.
If we look in fact at source number 13, which we saw before, the beginning of that parsha tells us that when Yaakov wanted to return to Eretz Canaan, he didn't return on his own and just escape with his family members. Rather, he met Rachel and Leah in the fields, and he said the same words similarly. Do you understand that Hashem has been involved in everything going on?
That your father has tricked me numerous times. And it was a malach elokim, pasuk yud aleph, a malach elokim who was involved and said, then I am going to help you out.
Hashem was involved, but he says, but you also have to be involved. Are you willing to leave your father?
Are you willing to sacrifice, to forfeit your past to go with me?
And at that point they say, oh, our father was no good anyway. Ata kol asher amar elokim elecha asei. Notice that Rivka establishes a precedent for her daughters-in-law to come. That Rivka establishes a precedent of not just the father, but the mother of the family being willing to undergo a process of lech lecha, just as Abraham had understood.
Just as Abraham
had told his Eved, you have to make sure that she leaves. So even though initially we see that the request of asking Rivka, you decide if you're going to go or not, notice how in the end, she was the one who had to decide on her own, sure enough. They blessed Rivka. Let's take a look at Pasuk Samach Aleph. Batakam Rivka v'narotzeha batakadna al-admali batelachna achavei ha'ish. She's the one who's going to continue to go together with Eved Abraham.
Therefore, in the last few minutes, we're going to see the conclusion of the story. V'yitzchak ba mibo be'er l'chayim lo'im. If you look at all the parshanim, what was Yitzchak involved in at the same time? According to Rashi, he is involved in Shidduchim also. Isn't that amazing? Yitzchak is not passive, according to Chazal. Yitzchak recognized someone is looking out, namely my father, to find me a Shidduch. Because Abraham is pursuing the path that Hashem set him in, I'm going to be involved in this as well. Yitzchak is going to be active. According to Chazal, the scene is a very active one of Yitzchak. He is not passive. As we see, he's either going to bring Hagar to remarry Abraham, or as we turn now to the last page, other possibilities. What else is he doing in Be'er L'chai Ro'is? Forno tells us, L'kalel b'makom shebo nishma'at tzvilah, she'epatol b'kodem shekalel kar nishlam inyano. Look at what happens. He was also davening. What was he davening for? He was davening for Shidduch. And lo and behold, before he even finished his tzvilah, in the middle of his return, that's when Rivka already comes. Hashem is involved even beyond his request. The Nitzit tells us as well, what was he doing during this time? Then he notices, he says, that Hashem had arranged for Yitzchak to meet Rivka along the way, so that Rivka would be surprised. And then the very last line, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzivei, SheYitzchak Ba Boto Eid Mibo Be'er L'chai Ro'i, SheHaya Lo Oto Makom Miyuchad L'Tzvila L'Tzvodudut Al Be'er She'Na'ah HaMalach. This was the place where a Malach came to Hagar, do you remember, in Parshat Lech Lecha, and told her to return to Abraham. And here we find the idea that the Be'er where Ishmael was revived. This is where we find the idea that at the same time that Hashem is going to be involved in the path of Rivka, Hashem is involved in the path of Yitzchak as well. Lastly, in the Pasuk Samach Gimel, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Batadeh, Yizmin Hashem Lefana Boto She'ah Katishto, V'zehu Vayisa Einav. Let's take a look now at these very last Pesukim. Yitzchak comes, V'hu Yoshe Be'eretz HaNegev, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Batadeh, V'chnot Erev, Vayisa Einav Vayar, Yimei Malik Ba'im. What does this term remind us of? Vayisa Einav Vayar? He's just like his father. Just like Abraham, Vayisa Ena Vayar Vimei Ayel, Vayisa Ena Vayar Vimei Amashim. Abraham knows how to look. Abraham knows how to look in all the right places. And Abraham knows what to do. Here the Torah is telling us beautifully that there's a powerful meaning. There's something with the meaning of the eyes. Not only Yitzchak, but if you look at the next pasuk, a beautiful romantic parallel. Vatisa Rivka et Einaha, Vatera et Yitzchak. That Rivka also, just like Avram, just like Yitzchak, they meet with their eyes for a moment, but she pulled me out of the gamal. And most Parshanim explain, why is it that she falls off of the gamal, even Ezra says, Virtsona, Kimo, Vayipol al Panav. She didn't fall off. She is the one to disembark from the camel in order to greet Yitzchak herself. She is overwhelmed by simply the idea of the meeting, that at that particular moment, they both have their eyes meet one another. Now this may look without the background of the story, like romantic love. They simply love at first sight. Is that really what's going on? It's beyond that. Their eyes meet, as all the Parshanim explained, because Hashem arranged so many different events so that their eyes would meet at this moment. Hashem arranged so that that Miriam and Abraham would be in the same social hall at the same time. That they would be sitting in Starbucks in the different tables, one right next to the other. And with all of those events that led up to it, that's how they would meet. The Ramban tells us similarly, Kavanato came out of the Mala Shari Rokevet Alav, he tat atzmal tzadachad lasei panav imenu. She was just overwhelmed by this glance, by the intensity of the meeting that she had to turn away. And now then, what does this lead to? The very last few psukim, this is when Rivka asks, because she already suspects, Vatomer el ha'ebed, mi ha'ish halazeh ho'olech basadeh l'fratenu. Who is this man coming to greet us? This can't be by chance. Vayom ha'ebed, hu adoni. For the first time, Yitzchak is called the Adon. Now the Ebed is truly an Ebed, even in Rivka's eyes. And now the master is no longer Abraham.
but he who will merit a continuation, he whom Abraham already knew would be taken care of from the beginning of the parsha, here we find the fulfillment of Abraham's hadith projection, that tikach hatzaif hatzitzkas. Now she covers herself, because now that they know each other, apparently there isn't yet love. When does the love come? When Yitzchak hears the story, then he loves Rivka only after he hears the story of Eved Abraham. He loves Rivka when he realizes that this is what Hashem wanted, that this is indeed his wife, because he sees the path in which Hashem has led both of them. When he hears the story, the love then can develop. Love is built off of what Hashem wants. And that's why the Torah continues to tell us, the Yiparshanim explain, that's when he brought him into Sarah's tent. This is where we find that Rivka reminds him, not only if you look carefully, but the nisim, the miracles that were expressions of Hashem's involvement in Sarah's life, namely, that now Yitzchak recognizes that Hashem is involved with Rivka, just as Hashem was involved with Sarah. In addition, the last verse, the Chizkuni, Vayinachim Yitzchak Acharei Imo, Acharei Shamta Doma, Li'imo B'maseha. He falls in love with Rivka because he realizes that Rivka is the one for him. But he also falls in love with Rivka because of her midot, because of her own masim, because of that midah of Chazid. What we see from the story is indeed that Shidduch needs to begin with the realization, or really the questioning, of who and what one should be looking for, based on where we are in life. What is it that Hashem wants from me? That's what Abraham was asking himself, and based on that, he was able to come up with the confidence that once he knows what Hashem wants, that Hashem will take care of the rest. First, we have to know ourselves. What does Hashem want from me? Not what does society want from me. What does Hashem want from me? So, as an Eved Hashem, how does Hashem want me to worship him? With what talents? With what midot? Am I supposed to worship God? Based on that, I can get a sense of who I'm supposed to be looking for. You have to look for God in all the right places. You have to look for love in all the right places. The emphasis is not the right places. The emphasis is on the looking. Vayisa imad vayar. The Gemara tells us that Eliezer was wrong for all the simanim, that Eliezer was wrong for creating all these different signs that would serve as a proof that Hashem was involved. He was wrong for those signs, but he was right for looking around. Because the problem is that most of us don't see heavenly signs because we're not looking. The challenge then is clearly to appreciate Vayisa Inad, to understand that we have to begin with a belief that should lead us to a search of Ratzon Hashem, and ultimately, not with Nevuah, and not only with Tzviva, not only by visiting Kibbe Avot, and not only by going to Gedolim for Brachot, but with our own convictions, and with our own activities in a proactive way to look and to follow, and Be'ezrat Hashem to find not simply a mazal tov, not only the signs, but clearly to continue to see what Hashem is searching for us. And only when we hear the story, we recognize in retrospect that we can grow in that love of the relationship. Ahatzlacha.